Hey guys, Bradley Dillon here for thenewfury.com, and we are in Tampa, Florida. Just witnessed a great set by Sleep Makes Waves, and now we're chatting with an old friend of mine that I've seen many, many times, whether it's in Last Chance to Reason or more recently, and just been in the band for a few years, The Contortionist. So why don't you introduce yourself, what you do in The Contortionist, and yeah.
Well, my name is Michael Lassard. My main function in the band is vocals, but I dabble in a few other things whenever they give me the freedom to do so. That's about it there.
So first question for you. Obviously I'm really excited to see you guys tonight because I think it's like the eighth or ninth time that I've seen The Contortionist overall. I think the third or fourth time with you. So it's definitely always a good time seeing you guys live. But I heard this is your guys' last tour cycle for Language. And yeah, I take you guys are going into the studio soon and stuff like that.
We don't actually go to the studio soon, but what we are doing is we're writing up until the end of the year, and then we go in the studio probably around January-ish time, and we're going to spend pretty much the rest of the year writing an album, because we've never really been able to take a solid block of time to work on an album. It's always been, most bands, it's you tour for a year and a half to 2 years on an album, get about 3 months to write it, maybe a month to record it, and then back out on the road and do it all over again. And we're in a position now where we can just take pretty much almost a year off and just focus on an album, nothing else. And that's what we're going to take the opportunity to do. And hopefully it's a good one.
Because that's what I noticed with both Language when you came in to replace Jonathan Carpenter. Love that guy. He and I are dads, so I understand the struggle.
Yeah.
But even when the band recorded Exoplanet and Intrinsic, I loved both those records. But when I talked to Robbie many years ago, he always said both those records were kind of rushed. They were always on a time limit to be able to do stuff. So whenever you guys write and record a new record, is anything going to be different now that you don't necessarily have to speed things by when recording?
It'll give us a little more time to be a little more thorough with our approach, whether it be just overall songwriting and album structure. And the more time you have with something, the more obvious things become. At first, it's kind of this jumbled mess of chaos and everything's flying by and you don't know what's what. And then, after you tour an album for 2 years, you hear all these different things you could have done and things you could have done better once it's all finished. And, giving yourself a year just gives you more time to sit with that material and see what you can change. And the work's never done, I'm sure. Even after a year of writing, we're gonna record it, and then after we get out, I should have done that, or I should have done this. But a year gives us more time to really focus and, try to perfect our craft a little more. It gives us time, too, to just become better musicians, because when you're performing every night, you are becoming better, but it's a different type of better. It's a different type of musicianship. It's on-the-spot musicianship, whereas when you're in a studio, there's a little more freedom, and you can let loose a little bit more, and there's not all that pressure there. There's not video cameras pointing in your face, people waiting, that could potentially go up on YouTube, and, you botch notes and all that stuff. It just gives us time to become better musicians, better songwriters, and just focus in on becoming better people, too.
There was a period in my life where I wanted to become a vocalist, and but I realized how hard it was, and I was like, I should probably find something I'm better at, like writing. So I did. But I always find vocalists one of the most fascinating members of any band because of the skill it takes to up and down pitch and melody and all that. So with that said, how often do you, when you're not on tour, how often do you practice vocals, and what do you do? What kind of vocal exercises do you do?
I record every day. Every single day I'm doing something musical. Sometimes that's vocals. If I start writing a piece, I'm pretty quick to try to jump to the vocals. I try to rush everything else so I can start laying some vocal ideas down and then go back and build the music around it a little bit more, just so the vocals are a little more the emphasis of the part. I'm always singing. Not necessarily in my free time. I'm not running scales and, doing that stuff. I just like to create more than I like to to memorize and eternalize scales and, you know, all this theory. In my off time, I just record and sing and do whatever comes more intuitively. Then I sit back, look at it, try to come with more of a calculated approach, fix things, move them around. But yeah, I'm always singing. I'm always trying to be musical in some way. But not necessarily in the sense of vocal exercises and stuff like that. Which I do sometimes. It's something that I probably neglect more than I should. But I just have more fun with recording, and it makes it so I sing more because I'm having fun with it. I'm passionate about it. So instead of spending an hour doing a vocal exercise, I can spend 8 hours singing and working on vocal melodies because it keeps me there for that long because I'm so into it.
Fair enough. Now, I actually had a friend of mine who saw you guys, I think, a couple weeks back on the tour. Obviously had a great time, and he said that you guys were throwing in a couple older songs from Exoplanet on tour. Any ideas what those are? I mean, well, you know.
I mean, if you want me to give the spoiler, I give you the spoiler.
Well, I think you guys are playing two of them, right?
Yeah.
Give us one, then, and then we'll keep the other one secret.
Oscillator is one of the songs, so, which is it's a fun one to play.
Now, being that you weren't in, obviously you weren't in the band when the Exoplanet was recorded, is it challenging for you to pick up that old or the older material, or is it maybe a little easier for you since it's maybe more fresh?
It was hard at first because I had to, when I came into the band, it was on a week and a half notice to fill in. So I had to learn stuff at a pretty fast rate. And I didn't really have time to sit there and overthink anything. And I had to learn John's tendencies because the quickest way to learn somebody else's material is to find their patterns. Everybody has patterns. Everybody has go-tos. So I just had to find his patterns, and I had to figure out what he liked to do, and I had to follow his tendencies and not mine. So it was challenging in that sense. Some things that he did naturally didn't come naturally to me, so I had to learn those. But now it's, I've done the song so many times that now I can just do whatever comes naturally to me. Now that I've already internalized all that stuff, now I can just have fun with it and improv and, maybe come in on an upbeat or a downbeat or wait a couple measures or change a melody or, do whatever I feel like doing that night.
What I found really interesting is the end of last year, I didn't even hear about it until like a month or two after its release, but you guys did the, I think it was like the remixed, or Rediscovered. Yeah, I couldn't remember the name of it.
No worries.
Why exactly did you guys decide to do some more remixes of the material?
Just a way to challenge ourselves as musicians, to take source material and then have to recreate it. Stanley Kubrick's one of my favorite filmmakers, and all his films, or for the most part, were he took source material and then made film out of it. None of them were original stories that he made. They're all based off books and things of that nature. So I always found that interesting. One of the best filmmakers ever always, based his work off other source material. So it's a fun idea, even though it's not us taking other people's source material. It's setting a rule of God, it's setting boundaries and then having to work within those boundaries. So we took the songs and rediscovered them, if you will. And it was a fun way for us to grow, and it was a cool thing for people that are into us. At least we thought it would be. So, and hopefully, some people seem to enjoy it, and it's a way for us to show a different side of the band. And I think with this band, the goal has always been to pretty much be unpredictable in our approach and what we do. And I feel like that was a little bit of a curveball for a lot of people. We pretty much just put it out there and tell people we're doing it. And I actually produced it all. And it's something that it was an idea that was in my head for a while that I wanted to do.
Now, what kind of reaction did you get from fans when that was released? What kind of things were they saying about it?
It seemed to be pretty positive. I mean, at this point, I think the people that are latching on to the Exoplanet days have already, abandoned hope of that style being what the primary focus is of the band. And you know, it's okay, they want a certain thing, but you know, it's not, you know, and that's not to say that we won't ever go back to that. At this point in time, it's just not what we're feeling, and you know, we're not gonna play music we don't feel. So it's one of those things, and people seem to be pretty positive about it. So it's mostly language fans that were, and people, I mean, obviously we still have fans that carried over from all that stuff, but the people that were really into language really enjoyed this stuff. So it's all positive. So we'll probably end up doing it again. We've been talking about doing a whole tour like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's we don't ever want to set boundaries. We don't want to be the band that just goes out and, you know, does the same shit every night. You know what I mean? It gets, for us, that's boring. For us, we have to make things interesting. That's why we change it. We always add new things to all the songs every tour we do. We always improvise live. Because for us, music is supposed to be fun, and we have fun creating and doing new things instead of just trying to mimic one idea we had 5 years ago over and over and over the exact same way for 5 years. That'd be a nightmare. So yeah, we're just having fun with it.
You know, I'm really glad you mentioned fun, because I feel like especially if you're an artist or musician of any sort, if you're not having fun, you know, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, it is very much a job sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's a job that I love. And like I said, I spend hours and hours and hours and hours recording. And sometimes all those hours are very stressful. But when you have an idea in your head or a vision, and you make that a tangible thing, the satisfaction that comes from that, for me, is priceless. And it's worth all that hassle, and it's worth all that stress, and figuring out where you want the melody to go and how you want it to resolve, or if you want it to resolve. When, you know, it's very rewarding.
I'm also glad you mentioned fun, because I just saw Sleep Makes Noise the first time about an hour ago. That band looks like they were having the time of their lives.
Yeah.
But what's it like touring with them and seeing them every night? What can you maybe tell me about the band, or tell anybody else listening to this about them?
Well, it's a great band, great people, and they're just great guys, man. We try to put together tours when we headline of bands that we find interesting and that hold some sort of common ground as us. And that's why, you know, it's Sleep Makes Waves and Entheos, which Entheos is like a death metal band, and then Sleep Makes Waves is a post-rock band. But we have a little bit of both of those things, so we feel like if we can bring in both bands, you know, it goes over well. And it's fun for the crowds, because the crowds get surprised and they never really know what to expect. Which is what we try to do with our music, just in general. So we try to make our tour packages the same way. On the topic of Sleep Makes Waves, it's inspiring. We like to bring bands out that inspire us, and we're lucky that we get to tour with bands that motivate us and inspire us and become great friends. You know, we're very lucky, you know, to do what we do and to be surrounded with other musicians that are very talented that we can learn from and grow with. So.
All right. Before we wrap this up, do you have any news you'd like to share, or anything that's going on in your world?
You know, just focusing on music. And that's really all I'm really worried about for as long as I can be. You know, just enjoying it while I can.
Fair enough. Well, thank you for giving me some of your time tonight. No, definitely stoked to see you guys in like 45 minutes probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll go catch my friend Evan Brewer inside.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. Love that guy. Anyway, this has been Bradley Dillon and Michael Lassard from The Contortionist for TheNewFury.com. Bye, guys.